Reflect on Ubuntu Betu as we celebrate 30 years of democracy. Go to primemediaplus.com and ewn.co.za.
Out of the 10 million young people in South Africa between the ages of 15 and 24 years old, 3.5 million of them are not employed or not in any form of education or training. That number is enough to fill Africa's biggest arena, the FNB Stadium, 36 times. There's an argument that elections are not for the now, but for the future. The outcome of this election will have an impact on those 10 million South Africans between the ages of 15 and 24 years old. Part of our panel, the political parties represented here today, is the ANC and ANC's Lucian Davids, who is an ANC provincial task team convener, the DA's Gillian Bosman, who is a member for the Democratic Alliance in the Western Cape provincial legislature. We speak to the EFF's Inam Kulo, who is the provincial convener of the Youth and Students Election Mobilization Committee for the EFF, the IFP's Sanele Zondo, who is a member of parliament in the National Assembly and also the IFP's Youth Brigade National Chairperson. We're also joined by Rise Mzanzi's Akolile Notiwala, who is the Western Cape convener for Rise, also the premier candidate here in the Western Cape for that party. Ladies and gentlemen, how we will conduct today's discussion, I will give you each an opportunity to open up with an opening statement of 90 seconds at most. After that, we have standardized questions which we'll ask all political parties, and you will all have an opportunity to respond in 90 seconds. Thank you so much for joining us. Lucian, not because you are the governing or part of the governing party in the country, because your name alphabetically is top of our list. So we'll start with you. What is your opening statement on the state of youth and education in South Africa?
Well, good morning, and thank you for hosting me here. My name is Lucian Davids, as you've introduced, the provincial convener of the ANC Youth League. And for ourselves as the ANC, we would like to say that, you know, the educational system within South Africa, you know, is functional. It's very functional. The issues that we are obviously identifying and seeing is that there is a struggle to absorb many of the graduates that, you know, we do produce within our country. So above and beyond that, it's not that we have an issue with creating skilled workers, because many of them, you know, happen to either go abroad or be here within the country but not find employment. So, you know, these are some of the challenges that we as the ANC are working on. But it would be a stark a contradiction to say that within the city, as the ANC has not done anything in terms of, you know, helping and aiding students. I'm sure that the panelists that are here with me can agree or attest to the fact that they are beneficiaries, like myself, of the systems created by the ANC. I'm not saying that we are perfect in any way, but, you know, the approach to solving any problems countries, you know, is always multifaceted, and it takes for an inclusive take from all sectors of society to work together in order to make sure that ourselves as young people, we have a say in what happens in our country. That is why ultimately our ancestors fought for this democracy that we have today, because prior to this we were mainly excluded from joining the corridors of governance, corridors of education, have access to, you know, decent healthcare, and in fact, have the ability to study, because various barriers were put up mainly. So from my side, that is what an opening statement.
That ding that you hear is your cue to wrap up your answer. Let's go now to Akolile Notiwala with your opening statement. While we wait to get to your mic, let's go to Inam Kula of the EFF to get your opening statement.
So, good morning, Lester, and morning to your listeners. So, the main campaign message for the EFF in these provincial and national elections is our land and jobs now, stop load shedding. So, I guess the two main things that young people are faced with in this country is perpetual joblessness and unemployment, and also the lack of access to education. So, quality education in South Africa remains a commodity which is reserved for those with financial capacity. So if we take higher education, for example, in this country, higher education remains a privilege for a few, with less than 5% of the youth population being registered in institutions of higher learning such as this one that we're sitting in today. So the reality, it means that in this country, education is a tool that is continuously used to deepen the class contradiction as well as maintain racially organized socioeconomic inequality. So as the EFF, our solution to this is that we need to provide access to free, quality and decolonized education. And then we get into the second issue, which is the issue of jobs, right? So as of 2023, the unemployment rate stood at like 42%, which means that a rough sum of 15 million people in the country, which includes the youth, are excluded from meaningfully participating in the economy, right? So the only way in which we can produce jobs in this country and root out this chronic unemployment and deep inequality and also massive poverty is to build one state capacity and also to build protected industries, right? So basically, we must have a state that is able to produce goods and services that are locally beneficiated in order to create jobs.
Thank you so much. While we wait for Akwalile's mic to get sorted out, let's go to Gillian Bosman, your opening remarks.
Thank you very much, Lester, and good morning to you and all the listeners. As you said, my name is Gillian Bosman. I'm a DA public rep in the provincial legislature and also constituency head for Oostenburg South 2 in the Metro Southeast. Lester, the current education system failed to provide quality education for all. And what we in the DA recognize is that this leads to a cycle of poverty and limited opportunities for young people across South Africa. We know that the lack of foundational skills in reading, writing, and numeracy hinders the ability of young people to succeed in making it to higher education institutions such as UCT or to TVET colleges. And what we envisioned as a party, not just in the Western Cape, but across South Africa, is for young people in South Africa that are empowered, young people that are supported, and equipped to reach their full potential. We've shown through our business case in this province that we can do that through education and skills development, through job creation and economic opportunities, through youth empowerment and participation, and actively getting young people to participate in their futures, whether that's through the Children's Commission or through the multiple youth programs we've got running in this province. And we also focus on the health and well-being of young people, because we know that young people are traumatized at the state of South Africa and traumatized at the state of where they find themselves. And I think what's most important as well, we need to be able to create an environment where young people are safe and secure and where they feel safe and secure. So as the party, our vision overall for youth in South Africa is a South Africa where young people are empowered, have opportunities, and live in an inclusive society.
Thank you so much. Let's go to Sanne Elizondo now, IFP MP and chairperson of the IFP's Youth Brigade.
Thanks. My name is Sanne Elizondo, as you just said. It is an arguable fact that the state of education in South Africa is nothing but a national crisis. Our schools were once a beacon of hope and opportunity. We have become a battleground for inequality and injustice. The promise of freedom and prosperity that accompanied the dawn of our democracy in 1994 have been betrayed by the system that fails our youth on a daily basis. The current state of education system is crumbling and is faced with various crises. Our youth is denied an access to quality education due to systemic challenges rooted in corruption and poverty and lack of infrastructure and inequality distribution of resources. As Inkatha Freedom Party, we refuse to accept the status quo. We refuse to be blind-eyed and allow the hope and dream of our youth to be dashed against the rock of inequality. We refuse to let the legacy of corruption be the current government to continue to haunt our future and detect the failed and wasteful of our young children. As the IFP, we pledge for a radical vision for the future of education in South Africa, a vision rooted in justice, equality, and opportunity for all, a vision that dares to imagine the world where every child, regardless of their background and circumstances, gets access to a better education.
And now let's go to Akolile Notuwala of Rise Mzansi, your opening remarks.
Thank you, Lester. Good morning to you and your listeners. I think the one thing that we should, where we should begin is that young people do not start their lives at 15. We know in South Africa they are failed from the age of one up until the age of 35 when they part of the youth. And so it is those underlying systemic and structural issues that we should resolve for young people. We need to create an enabling environment for young people to be able to thrive before they begin to be in university. And I think even in relation to education, and I think we must give props and thank the leaders who were part of Fees Must Fall. They did highlight many of the issues in universities, but you still have children falling in pit latrines. You still have children being shot at in school and outside of school in Mitchell's Plain and in Athlone. And so that doesn't create an enabling environment. And hence, yesterday, I launched the Bridge Western Cape Plan, because the inequalities in this province, inequalities across the country, but they are very stark in this province. There are children who live in this province, who are thriving and who thrive, who become what they want to be, but we know that there are children who do not get those opportunities.
Let's go into the numbers now. The numbers, but also the sentiment. Sanele, I'll start with you. According to stats, as say, the youth, as noted, as 15 to 34, remain vulnerable in the job market in the fourth quarter of 2023. The results show that the number of unemployed youth increased to 5.9 million. Stats SA says many have been discouraged from either looking for employment opportunities or training because of a lack of hope. How does the IFP promise to bring hope back to South African youth? 60 seconds.
I think first of all, the manifesto of the IFP emphasized that as the IFP, if you get into power, they will make sure that every graduate got a stipend of 3,000 rand to make sure that is able to go out and continue with life, to bridge that gap of being unemployed and being a graduate. You know, we have many graduates who have been frustrated and other committed suicide, other being depressed, admitted to hospitals, and want to bring hope to say that they have something to start up and will open. Will also, our manifesto stated that we'll have the community work whereby graduates will be fielded in some spaces in either private or public sector, so that on their field, so that they will keep on getting the required skill and keep up with their educational field.
Gillian Bosman of the Democratic Alliance, why is there a hope deficit?
I think there's a hope deficit because our young people have been failed. Lester, you would have seen the same social clip that we all saw when a young lady told the president the other day that she's got a degree in communications, and the president said, you know, keep looking. In the Western Cape, we've told young people, you don't have to just keep looking, but the government will assist you. And as the Democratic Alliance, we will continue to expand those type of programs, programs such as the SMME Booster Fund in the province, that have assisted over 950 small businesses, many of them young businesses. That sustains 4,977 jobs, but also showing young people, especially those young people who are youth at risk, that you can benefit from government programs such as the Chrysalis Academy, where young people from across this province, rural and urban, as well as peri-urban, are able to come to a program on a 3 or 6 month program where they are developed as holistic young people, as individuals, and they are given the skills to be able to go out into their communities and not just act as ambassadors for social change, but also to do an internship that allows them to move into formal employment at some point.
Inam from the EFF.
Yeah, sure, Lester. So I think similarly to the IFP, the EFF proposes for a job-seeking allowance, first of all. We know that it's difficult for any young person who comes from a disadvantaged community to be able to find employment. So when it comes to things as, like, you know, transport and data and all of those things which are required to get jobs, you know, that requires resources. So we're saying as the EFF that there must be a job-seeking allowance, and also there must be an allowance for graduates, right? So we know that in this country we find situations where graduates, even in scarce skills industries such as engineering and the built environment, find themselves outside of the employment market. So we're saying that we need to restore the dignity of these people by ensuring that we have an allowance for them whilst they're sitting at home and waiting or looking for employment. But most importantly, I think that...
Actually, Linotiwala of Rizomzanzi.
Thank you, Lester. I think we must not only give hope to those who are in institutions such as the University of Cape Town. We need to emphasize that FET colleges are important, and FET college provide young people with skills. They provide young people who fall through the cracks, who do not get to make it to matric. We know that we have high rates of dropouts, and we need to take care of those dropouts, because those dropouts are the ones that get easily attracted to gang and crime. And Rizomzanzi wants to launch a national public program where not only graduates from universities or FET colleges, but also those who are unemployed, who have been dropouts, can get some skills. A year-long program where they can get some training and skills and be provided with a stipend. And we have said that we want to introduce a job seekers grant as well.
Lucian Davids of the ANC.
Thank you. Delivering hope to young people within our country, especially within the education space, just means for the ANC to expand on the work that it's doing. You'd understand that recently the Sopelaki University has been, you know, finished, students have been, you know, enrolled to it and working from there. So for the ANC, we would also need to expand within the TVET sector, you know, with the expansion of more colleges and getting young people to enroll there, because as the former speaker, Mr. Notiwala, had mentioned, that is where young people need to be absorbed more so for the manufacturing sector to expand our economy in that line.
021-446-0567. Plenty of questions coming through, which I will pose to our panelists. We are at the UCT Upper Campus for our election debate, focusing on youth and education.
Everything you need to know about elections 2024 on Cape Talk. Join the conversation.
Welcome back. Before we go to Eyewitness News, I have time for a quick question to ask the two political parties, and we'll get to the rest after Eyewitness News. In 2023, Gillian, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme funded 1.3 million students for that academic year. Between 2023 and 2024, National Treasury cut by as much as 10% the money allocated to NSFAS. This year, only 1.2 million students are provisionally funded. What will your party do to ensure students receive their tuition accommodation allowance without the corruption and mismanagement that we've seen at NSFAS?
Well, firstly, Lester, I think we need to realize that the higher education funding model is not just NSFAS. The higher education funding model is a holistic model in terms of how we fund universities as well and how we plan for higher education. And that includes how we plan for the TVET sector specifically as well, because ultimately it's not just about getting young people to UCT. Some of us are lucky that we were able to attend UCT, but we are in a small minority. There are many young people that I know, that communities that I grew up with, that cannot come to university. There needs to be alternative paths as well. So what we focused on, and we've presented in our manifesto, our alternative model for NAFSAS, is looking at how do you manage affordability, to look at the different funding options available, but not just making higher education more affordable, but then again also making it more accessible. And one of the first things we will look at is how do you stop these constant cuts from National Treasury, because those cuts impact what happens in education, those cuts impact what happens in communities. Because even if someone can afford to get to university, being able to take a taxi here is still one of those things.
Inam, very quickly, your 60 seconds from the EFF.
Yeah, Lester, so I think it's very simple from us as the EFF. Enshrined in our seven cardinal pillars, we are proposing for free, quality, decolonized education. It's as simple as that. We are saying that the education system must no longer be commodified, and we're saying that it must be compulsory for everyone to access and have a post-secondary education for everyone. So this includes universities, universities of technology, and also TVETs. So what we need to do after that is that we also need to cancel student debts, right? Because we find that a lot of people still have debts from NSFAS, and also we need to reintegrate financially excluded students. So what in the main we were calling for in the Fees Must Fall era, or the Fees Must Fall generation, is to say that there must be free quality education and that we must decommodify the education system.
As a Eyewitness News Sport.
Everything you need to know about elections 2024 on Cape Talk. Join the conversation.
Let's get back to our debate. In 2024, this year's budget speech, Natural Treasury cut the NSFAS budget by as much as 10%. The NSFAS board has been dissolved. Akolile Notewala, what will Rise Mzansi do to ensure students receive a tuition accommodation allowance without corruption and mismanagement?
Thank you, Lester. So there are two very important things that we have to deal with and that we talk about dealing with. Number one is corruption. We want not anyone in the country, not young people, will be able to fulfill their lives and lead dignified and happy lives while we still have corrupt leaders within particularly the governing party in the country. And we need to remove Blade Nzimande. He has led a department that has failed. He has presided over corruption, and he needs to go. Second, in relation to that, is we have a deficit in leadership, and hence Rise Mzansi keeps on saying that we need new leaders. And leadership is not just in terms of party leaders, but also management of NSFAS. NSFAS has been mismanaged, and that's why you have many of these mistakes. They call them mistakes, and it's part of the corrupt activities of money going to people that it should not be going to.
Lucian Davids of the ANC. Lucian Davids of the ANC.
Hello. Oh, okay. Mike's back now. Thank you. So, as you've mentioned, Minister Blade Nzimande has dissolved the NSFAS board. That's one step towards, you know, making sure that we make sure that the NSFAS will be running functionally, looking for a leadership that is going to be able to manage NSFAS properly. Beyond that, we must also understand that most of the money, though there is made mention of corruption within the state, we also need to take into account the fact that there are many of the private institutions, especially these residences, that's been asking exorbitant amounts of money from, you know, government in order to house students, and that in itself is crippling the work of NSFAS, you know, to effectively make sure that students, you know, have money at least towards education. Most students could have been funded, but there are some illicit activities taking place within the private sector when it comes to, you know, obtaining government funds.
0214460567, drop me a WhatsApp, 0725671567. We continue our debate. Inam, we'll start with you this round. While South Africa has made significant progress in ensuring the right to education, that we only have 55% of first graders. 55% of first graders will never end up writing their senior certificate examination. What do we do to ensure that those who start in grade one end up completing at least 10 years up until grade 10 of schooling? Hopefully, they'll reach matric.
Okay, so when we speak about free quality and decolonized education, we're not speaking about just higher education. We're saying that from basic education and from as 3 years old, basically this needs to be the case. So from early childhood development, there needs to be access to early childhood development programs for children, and these programs need to be facilitated by trained ECD workers that are, you know, given adequate salaries. And then when we come to basic education, we need to also ensure that not only the content is quality, but also the infrastructure. So we cannot have a situation where in 2023 and in 2024 we still have mud schools in rural Eastern Cape. We still have schools that are built out of asbestos, or even that there's still pit latrines in these cases. So I read an article just the other day that a young child actually passed away from drowning in a pit latrine. So this shouldn't be the case in this day and age.
Atkolili, how do we make more than 45% of learners who start in grade one actually finish a schooling career?
So it doesn't start in grade one. It starts before they get into grade one. It starts in making sure that everyone has access to early childhood development. And when we talk about bridging the divide, we mean that there are children who are able to have breakfast, nutritious breakfast in the morning, and therefore they go to whether ECD or primary school, and they are able to concentrate and they are able to succeed. We have a food and hunger problem in South Africa, and if we don't deal with hunger, we will fail each and every child in South Africa. We have multiple children who are suffering from malnutrition. And when that happens, that means they are not going to be able to succeed in school. We also need to deal with this issue of substance abuse in our communities. Because of so many structural failures, of so many systemic failures, it's very easy for young people to be involved in substance. Those are issues that we need to deal with before they get into the school fields.
Time is up. Lucian Davids.
Okay, no, thank you. Right. For ourselves, as mentioned before, what we need to do as the ANC is seriously work on expanding the work that we have. More importantly, is developing the economy, and of our priorities within the ANC manifesto is exactly making sure that we'll be, you know, expanding job facilitations, making sure that businesses are thriving. As you could see, probably Minister Stella Ndebele Abrahams, who's also the Minister for Small Business Development in South Africa, has been moving quite swiftly within the sector, making sure, you know, that businesses are being developed, making sure that young people do get access to opening small businesses. The NYDA has also been supporting towards this end. So what we are saying is these interventions in the main will also help people in the community uplift themselves, so as to make sure that those children, those 45%, will definitely increase to a bigger percentage, because there's now sustainability within these communities.
60 seconds is up. Let's go to the IFP's Sanele Zondo.
I think we need to, I'll have to get 60 seconds times two, because I think you've jumped me on the question of that touches NSFAS.
This is the question we started with you on the question of NSFAS before we went to the break, Zanele. Yes, we did. We went to you, and then we went to Gillian, and then we had a break. But on the question of how do we keep schools to ensure that schools retain learnership?
You just distracted me, because you said you'll go to Rise FM and come to me before ANC at that time. You started.
I noted, and I will offer you a chance to respond on that. But on the question before us now, only 54% of learners who start in grade one end up finishing matric. What's the IFP's plan to retain students?
You know, first of all, South Africa has a lucky that is structured through the federal states. If you are talking about national, province, districts, and local government. First of all, as the IFP, we promote federalism, and we plead that government should give all the spheres powers to determine and regulate and make regulation that fits for their areas, because you find that there is a blanket approach in terms of policies and regulations which are not fitting to some areas, to make sure that we promote education in an early stage, and we make sure that it's fit for those areas to keep learners at school. Why I'm saying so is because there are challenges that are faced with Western Cape that are not faced with Gauteng. So we need Western Cape to deal with their challenges and have regulation that talk to their needs, and that will promote the learning culture in the province. You know, so I think that is what needs to be done, so that we'll deal direct with the question that you've posed.
We'll give you extra 60 seconds to answer about NSFAS. But Gillian Bosman of the Democratic Alliance.
I think, Lester, for us, we've shown in the Western Cape that the focus needs to be on quality education for every child in every classroom. And in the Western Cape, we introduced values-based education 5 years ago, where young people in the Western Cape going to schools across this province, the focus is on time on task, making sure that young people from early childhood development right up until matric are provided with the opportunities to develop themselves and not just focused on what's happening in matric. In the Western Cape, for instance, of the 50,520 candidates who passed met the requirement to get into higher education. Nationally, the focus was on what is the matric pass rate, but in the Western Cape, the focus was on what is it that we need to put into that recipe to ensure that someone who starts at an ECD center in Langa or in Grassy Park is able to end up either at a university or at a TVET college or in a job. Because ultimately we know education is a multifaceted problem, and we've had an opportunity to fix that. And the ANC's failed, and we saw that with the Bella Bill as well. They failed to provide a holistic approach to dealing with education.
We'll continue this good debate and conversation over the course of the next hour or so. Jan, good morning, Cape Town. But
everything you need to know about elections 2024 on Cape Talk. Join the conversation.
Let's give San Elizondo of the IFP his time back when it comes to the question of NSFAS, a 10% budget cut in student aid financing. About 1.2 million students receive aid from the state, a board that has been dissolved because of various maladministration practices. What does the IFP intend to do to fix NSFAS and the program of financial aid?
No, thanks. It's a given that as the IFP, I've been calling because I serve in that portfolio for education. I've started a long time ago to call for the removal of the minister, Dr. Plaid Nzimande, because you can, in fact, disband every structure below him. But the problem is not structures below him, it's him. Even the other body that can be fixed in NSFAS will fail to work under his leadership. So he's the one who's for the problem. I've been saying that long time ago, before even the fire Andile as the CEO. I think on the NSFAS we need to take it back to the institutions so that the administration part of it can be able to be transparent and be accessible. Because you know, under the NSFAS, under the direct payment, we had the problems. But, you know, when it comes to this pay cut, you know, the government should be serious. We can't compromise education because education is the basic and the background of the future. So that is where we need to build the future of this country.
Quick spot questions before we go to a break, and then Eyewitness News. Inam from the EFF. Education already takes up 17% of South Africa's national budget. The EFF is calling for universal education from ECD, primary, high school, and tertiary. Who is paying for that? How is South Africa paying for universal education all the way into tertiary level?
So, Lester, what we speak about in the EFF is nationalization of the strategic sectors and commanding heights. So essentially what needs to happen is that we need to nationalize things as such as mines, banks and other strategic sectors in order to be able to fund these things. And then from this, we'll be able to industrialize the economy, which means that we also need to give incentives to different industries to be able to then make growth in the economy and be able to fund this free education. So essentially, the state needs to lead state-led programs that will be able to ensure that there's industrialization to support the free education
will
that we speak about.
Will this include private education as well? Because there's a listener here that says, I'm appealing to NSFAS to fund children at private colleges too. I have a niece who couldn't get into a public university, mainly due to space. So she's forced to attend a private institution. Will the EFF cover private tuition as well?
So as the EFF, we don't believe in private versus public institution. There must be one education system for all. So we'll find that there will not be a case of the IEP and NSC system. So there needs to be quality education that is provided by the government, and this will also be funded by the government. So there will not be any private education when it comes to the EFF government.
Spot question to Gillian Bosman of the Democratic Alliance. Alliance, does the Democratic Alliance only care about holistic education, that the matric pass rate is not that a big deal when the Western Cape has not been the top performing province in South Africa over the last, what, 3 or 4 years? Is that when the DA decides matric pass rate is not such a big deal?
No, Lester, I think what we need to look at is, and I said earlier, education reform is a long-term project, and the gains that we're seeing in the Western Cape at the moment in terms of quality education in every classroom for every child is a project that started years ago. It's not something that started yesterday or something that started in 2019 when this administration came into effect. The Western Cape and the people of the Western Cape inherited a government that was broken under the African National Congress, and you'll remember the shenanigans around the multiple premiers that we had, and they failed to focus on teacher development, they failed to focus on early childhood development, and they failed to focus on the actual pedagogy of learning, and those things cost money. And you asked the previous, I'm from the EFF, around how are we going to fund these things. At the moment, we know South Africa is broke. Our government is borrowing at an alarming rate, and when it comes to investing in education, the government is the first to go and negotiate a national wage agreement for teachers when the national government, under Minister Angie Motshekga, doesn't employ a single teacher. All of those teachers are employed at a provincial level, and that money has to come from national equitable share and the money from provinces.
Gillian Bosman, really appreciate your answer. We'll speak and we'll direct direct questions to the rest of our panelists.